Welcome to the Vineyard, everybody. Welcome to those of you joining us online, whatever place or space or city or state or country, especially if you're watching in Orlando today. We want to say welcome and happy Easter. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome the online audience today? Come on, let's welcome them in. Hey! So my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and it's so good to be with you on this Easter Sunday. So, do you realize in the next 24 hours, over 1 billion people will be celebrating Easter? Over a billion people around the globe. An event that happened over 2,000 years ago. I mean, what is going on? What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that there was a power on display 2,000 years ago. A power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Easter is all about power. I wonder how many of you got a cell phone. In fact, let me see if you got a, how many iPhone users? We got iPhone. Let me see hands, iPhones. Okay, if you're online, just put in the chat, put team iPhone. Okay, if you're Android, how many Android users we got in the house? Android users, okay, in the chat, put team Android. Okay, look, I brought my cell phone with me today. Here's mine. You recognize this? What's this called? The brick, yeah. This actually was my cell phone back in 1992. I was 7 years old. This is my cell phone. It actually worked back in the day. The brick. But look, regardless of what phone you have, unless you have another piece of equipment, it's not going to last very long. What else you need? You need some kind of an adapter. You need some kind of a charger. Or your phone's not going to work very long. Because if you don't keep that thing charged, you don't get a charge on the battery, you're in deep trouble. The other night, I was out taking a ride with my family on our golf cart. We live in Cutler Bay area. In a Cutler Bay area, it's legal to drive golf carts on the streets. And so a couple weeks ago, I purchased a used golf cart, a 6-passenger used golf cart. Got delivered to the house. I talked to the owner before he delivered the cart. He said, look, this cart, he said, it's got brand new batteries, fully charged, lasts for days. So the other night, my son comes over, his wife comes over, our grandson comes over, not their son, our grandson comes over. My daughter was there. So 6 of us are on this golf cart, and we decide we'd make a little ice cream run. So we took the back roads all through Cutler Bay area, and on the way there, it was totally cool. But on the way home, I'm driving, it's night, and I'm driving, and the headlights all of a sudden like begin to dim. I'm going, that's strange. And then a little while later, it starts to slow down, almost to a stop. My son jumps out, he says, I got this, Dad. He jumps out, he starts pushing. I'm not getting out, I'm standing on the car. He's pushing. 5 hours later, we get the golf cart back home. I'm just playing. It didn't take 5 hours. But it did take a while. But look, now the good thing about that night is it'll be a night they'll never forget. The bad thing about that night is we ran out of power. Now look, some of you today, you've got some power issues in your life. And it's way more serious than interrupting an ice cream run. Because some of you today, you might feel powerless when it comes to your finances. You might feel powerless when it comes to relationships. You might feel powerless when it comes to your education or your career or a health issue. Regardless of what your power issues may be today, you're in the right place because Easter is all about power. Now, I want to ask you if you could do something for me. Would you locate an outline? Here's how you locate the outline. You locate the outline on our Miami Vineyard app. And I would ask, if you haven't yet downloaded the app, you might want to do that right now. Online, your online host can tell you to do that. If you're joining us here in the room today, there's a QR code you see on screen. There's also a QR code in the seat backs in front of you. If you want to just, you can scan the QR code, you can download our app, or go to the app store, your app store, and just download the app, Miami Vineyard, search Miami Vineyard. Because on the app is everything you need about this church. It's all right there in the app. And what's there right now is an outline where you can kind of, you can actually type some answers in. You can track with me right there in the outline, both in English and Espanol. It's right there on that outline on the app. So I want you to notice this verse from the Bible. Romans 6:4 said, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Father, we can also live a new life. I want you to notice, you see that word power. That word power is connected to a new life. Because of the power, I can have a new life. You're going, Pastor Kevin, what kind of new life are you talking about? And what does that have to do with me living my life in 2021? Well, I want to give you a couple, three things today to think about. What this power has to do with your life and my life today. I want to give you a couple, three things. There's a million things, but let me give you three things. Here's the first one. It's the power. It's the power to overcome the past. Do you know what the number one cause of unhappiness in our lives is? It's cats. No, I'm just kidding. You know what it is? It's waiting in line at the Pollo Tropical drive-thru. No, here it is. It's serious. The number one cause of unhappiness in our lives is this. It's being stuck in the past. We can never really fully enjoy today because we're stuck in yesterday. And the number one reason we get stuck in the past is because of something that happened relationally. If you think back over this past year, it has been one challenging year in so many ways, but it's especially challenging in the area of relationships. Think back to when this COVID thing first began, now over a year ago, right? January, you started hearing about it, February. And so there were some countries that went on lockdown before we did, before this country did. And so all the experts, you might remember back, they're all predicting like what's going to happen because of the lockdown. What were the impacts, the effects of the lockdown? This and this and this and this. And one of the things they said was this, because people were locking down with their families, locking down with their loved ones, here's what they predicted. They predicted 9 months later, there would be a baby boom, like what happened after World War II. But do you know what happened instead? There was not a baby boom. You know what there was? A divorce boom. There's never been more divorces around the world filed than there was during this COVID lockdown season. Now, what is happening? People were sick and tired of being with each other. They didn't want to be with each other anymore. Think back to our lives. When our lockdown here in the United States, Miami, this area kind of began in March, middle of March. Think about it. Everybody said, you got to stay home, got to stay home. Can't go to work, can't go to school, got to stay home. Everybody loved it for 2 weeks. And then what happened? You hated it. I want to be with people I like. And they're not in the house with me right now. Do you realize you can spend a lot of time with people and still not have great relationships? I mean, don't look at them right now. I mean, come on, this is church, okay? Don't. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand for this one, okay? So don't raise your hand. Don't flinch. Don't do anything. But I wonder how many of us have been challenged in our relationships this past year. It has been one challenging year in so many aspects, but especially relationally. It's tough being with people all the time and being squished and on each other's nerves and people staying home and not going to work and not going to school and doing all this kind of stuff and not having the space you want. And it's not just the pandemic. Think about this past year. You throw into the mix the political season we've just been in, social justice issues, the difference of opinions, the strong difference of opinions about these things in the same household. And then you throw on top of that social media and all the stuff people were posting and some of you were posting about some different people and all this kind of stuff. Listen, some of you have lost friends over this. Some of you you're not even talking to people anymore. Some of you have lost, you've lost family members over this. I don't mean died. I mean, you just don't talk to them anymore. Some of you might be having some Easter get-togethers maybe later today, and some family members aren't going to show up because of what happened relationally over this past year. It has been a huge challenge. And honestly, if the truth were told, honestly, I think some of you experienced some betrayal this past year. You've had people say things about you, or because you took a stand for something, or because you voiced an opinion for something. You feel betrayed by some people that you thought loved you very much. Or maybe you were the one who did the betraying, and you didn't even really know it, but you might have betrayed some people. This past year has been extremely challenging in real relationships. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. Because of Easter, and because there was a power on display that day when Jesus rose from the dead, that same Jesus has the power to forgive, restore, redeem, and reconcile. That same Jesus. Tell a little story, true story, about Jesus and one of his followers named Peter. Now, Jesus, many of you know, had 12 closest followers, his disciples, but Peter and Jesus were tight. They were BFFs. They were bros. They were ride or die. They were really tight. They did everything together for 3 years. They traveled together. They ate together. They worked together. They did ministry together for 3 years. And so now we come to the end of Jesus' life. This was a Thursday night. On Thursday night, Jesus gets falsely arrested. I mean, he gets arrested, but for nothing. He didn't do anything wrong. But he gets arrested. He gets dragged into court. And Peter watches this happen to his friend. But Peter wants to support his friend, kind of. He sees Jesus get hauled into this courtroom, but Peter, he's not allowed to. He didn't want to go in the courtroom, so he just kind of hangs outside in the courtyard area. Because if he gets too close, he's afraid maybe they're going to bring me in there too, do the same thing to me. So he's just hanging out, but he wants to support his friend. But he's a little scared. And so the night goes on and ticks by. And after a little while out there by the courtyard area, somebody looks at Peter and says, "Hey, you're one of those followers of Jesus." He says, "I am not." A little while later, somebody else looks at him and says, "Hey, you're a Galilean. Absolutely, you're a follower of Jesus." He said, "Absolutely not." Third time, somebody looks at him and says, "Hey, you're definitely a follower of his." He said, "I don't even know the man." Some of you know the story. Just then, a rooster crowed, and Peter realized what he had done. He just betrayed the man he loved the most. His best friend, the guy he gave his life for. He just betrayed him. He said, "I never knew the man." That was Thursday night. On Friday, Jesus goes to the cross and dies. And he's gone. The disciples have no faith that he's going to rise from the grave at all. He's just gone. And so Peter now is carrying around. Imagine, you just denied knowing this guy, your best friend. You just denied even knowing him. And now your best friend is dead and gone. And now you got to carry that around with you the rest of your life. Some of you in this room and online, you've had some exchanges with some people. You've said some things to some people. And now that person's gone. They're just gone. And you would do anything to get that person back for just a moment so you could turn back the hands of time for just a moment to just say something else. Or can I get a do-over in some kind of way? But they're gone. And some of you listening to me right now, you've just been haunted by some of these exchanges you had, and now the person's not here anymore to do anything about it. That's Peter. That's exactly how he was feeling. But this Jesus didn't stay dead. This Jesus rose from the grave. And so a few days later goes by. Time passes, a little bit of time passes. And Jesus finds Peter in the state that Peter was in. The state of Peter wasn't even a follower of Jesus anymore. Peter said, "I'm giving up on that." Peter went back to fishing. And Jesus went and found him fishing and said, "Peter, I forgive you." He said, "Peter, this does not have to define you." Jesus is saying to you today, no matter what it is that you had happen in your life, no matter what has happened, he says to you today, I forgive you. No matter what has happened, this does not have to define you. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead, you are forgiven and you are free to be everything God created you to be. Nothing that has happened in your past has the power to define you unless you allow it to. Because Jesus Christ has come to set you free. If Easter is about anything, it's about not even death can hold back the power of the living Christ. No chains can hold you back today. Nothing can hold you back today. You are free to be who Jesus Christ made you to be. If Easter says anything, Easter says that. Look at this verse in the Bible. Romans 8:1 says, we no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you. Wow. What an awesome verse. But now look, because we've been forgiven, here's our job. We need to forgive other people too. Because God has set us free, now we got to free other people. We got to extend forgiveness to them. The Bible says it like this, be as ready to forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So here's my question to you this Easter weekend. Who is that person in your life that needs your forgiveness? Who is that person that needs you to forgive them? Whoever it is, can I just encourage you, whoever it is this Easter, send them a text today. Reach out to them. Reach out to them. And just make it right and say, look, this has been going on too long. I don't want this distance to be between us. What can we do to reconcile? You're going, well, they should make the first move. They're the one that screwed up. Okay. Or perhaps maybe we could make the first move because we say we're followers of Jesus. And that's what followers of Jesus do. We make the first move. Well, they don't deserve it. Did you? Did I? Nobody deserves the forgiveness of Jesus. He just gives it freely. So maybe today's a day. Maybe today's a day when you're going to forgive somebody. That's number one. The Easter power, overcome the past. Here's number two. Easter power. Ready? Easter power. Number two is the power to enjoy the present. Look what it says. Ephesians 1 says, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. And here's what this verse is saying. You can have that same resurrection power in your life today. So let me ask you a personal question this Easter. Where do you need resurrection power in your life? Or let me ask it another way. What's dying in your life? Or what has died in your life? And you know it. And you need God's power to bring it back to life. Where do you need a resurrection power in 2021? Because this past year, has had a tremendous impact on all of us. So much has happened. The impact of this past year won't be fully known for years to come. The impact emotionally, the impact mentally, the impact physically, it won't be known for years to come. In fact, the impact on this generation has been so strong that you know how social scientists, you heard that the generations to come, the Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, right? We've got these generations already now, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z. You know what they're thinking of calling the next generation? Gen C, Generation COVID. It's been so strong. The impact has been so strong. But let's be honest. When this whole thing started for us, about a year ago, a little over a year ago now. I mean, folks, we were all in this thing together. People were scared. People were just scared. We don't know about the virus, how severe is the virus. We're watching people die. You're seeing all the footage, all the news coverage. You're seeing all this stuff happen. Nobody knows about this. People were scared. They didn't know what was going on. You got all the stuff. Then you had between the virus and social unrest, and food shortages, and losing jobs, and income, and health issues, and relational stuff. I mean, there were times when we wondered, what was happening? Are we really going to make it? I wonder how many of you can relate to this verse. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1. It says, we were really crushed and overwhelmed. Just pause there for a moment. I wonder how many of you experienced this feeling, just this feeling of being a little bit crushed and overwhelmed. Let me see your hands if you felt a little bit crushed and overwhelmed during this past year. Yeah, yeah. If you're joining me online right now and in the chat, if you felt crushed and overwhelmed, just put 2020 sucked. Okay, just put that in the chat. But look what the Bible says. Look at this verse. We were really crushed and overwhelmed. But look at the next word. But that was good. You're going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out there, preacher boy. How could that possibly be good? How can the fact that I was under it, crushed and overwhelmed in 2020, how can that be good? Okay, look what it says. Because we put everything into the hands of God, who alone can save us, for he can even raise the dead. That's why it's good. If God can raise a dead man back to life, he can raise a dead marriage. He can raise a dead relationship. He can raise a dead job. He can raise a dead career. He can raise a dead degree. He can raise a dead health issue. He can raise a dead dream. He can raise anything because he has all the power you need. And this God can turn your setbacks into comebacks. And I can't wait to see what God is going to do in your life, in my life, in our life, in this next year of 2021, because God is turning your setbacks into comebacks. Man, don't get me going. I might start preaching soon. Now look. Even if your circumstances don't change, right? And there's no guarantee circumstances change. But I can guarantee what will change, you're going to change. And when we change, we go through life differently. You experience life differently. We go through life differently. When you're experiencing the risen power of Jesus Christ in your life, you go through life differently. So what's Easter power all about? It's the power to overcome the past. It's the power to enjoy the present. And here's the third thing. You know what Easter power is? It's the power to face the future with confidence. You know, this past year has made us question a whole lot of stuff. Even though we seem to be coming out the other side of this COVID thing, and I pray to God we're coming out the other side of this COVID thing, and there's hope in the air. There's no question. There's a little bit of hope in the air. There's still no shortage of things that we have some uncertainty about. A lot of people have uncertainty about the economy, gas prices going up, home prices skyrocketing, education. I mean, what's going to happen with school moving forward, and will my kids ever get back to school, and what's been the impact of the past year in education? But here's the biggest thing people have some uncertainty about. Here's the biggest thing. Will I ever be able to lose the 15 pounds I gained during COVID? That's the number one. I'm just playing. You know, when you boil it all down with all this uncertainty stuff, okay, when you boil it all down, people really are most concerned about things that are personal issues. And I meet a lot of people who've just simply lost hope. Why is that we lose hope so quickly? I think there's a couple of reasons. I think first reason is we lose hope when we're facing a situation that we feel powerless to change. I can't tell you how many times over the past 28 years of doing this thing I do, people come, Pastor Kevin, my marriage is hopeless. We've tried. Pastor Kevin, we went to therapy. We've talked. We've read the books. We did the podcast. We did it all. Pastor Kevin, it's not working. And you can just watch the hope begins to just drain out. Or singles who want to be married, and for whatever reason, they haven't yet found Mr. and Mrs. Right. And there's no Mr. and Mrs. Right on the horizon. And you can see the hope, the hopelessness that they're experiencing. They're beginning to lose hope that they ever will. Or parents who say, man, Pastor Kevin, I see my kids. I just watch my kids heading off in this direction. And I feel so powerless to do anything about it. Or some people say, my finances, Pastor Kevin, my finances, I just keep getting further and further behind. Or my parents. Here's one of my parents. Pastor Kevin, my parents are aging right before my eyes. And they're losing their mind. They're losing their health. And Pastor Kevin, there's nothing I can do about it. I just feel so hopeless, so helpless. Or in my life, I see things in my life I want to change, and I just don't know what to do. Or maybe it's society or injustice or racism or sexism, and you want to make a difference, but you just don't know how. We begin to lose hope. That's the first reason. But here's the second reason. We become uncertain, and we lose hope when we think that God doesn't care about any of that stuff. Does God really care? And does he care about me? Does he care what I'm going through? Does he care about my future? Look what God says about you and your future. God says in the book of Jeremiah in the Bible, I know what I'm planning for you, says the Lord. I've got good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. And the Bible tells us over and over and over again that God cares about you. He cares about you. Do you realize the Bible says that God never stops thinking about you? He's thinking about you constantly. He never stops thinking about you. The Bible says that God has every hair on your head numbered. Do you realize that? For some of you, that's not too difficult, but he's got every hair on your head numbered. You know what else is true? He also knows our true color. So did a lot of us during COVID. But anyway, do you realize he loves you and he will never stop loving you? Never. I want you to hear now a story from someone here in our church family that they experienced this unconditional love of God and how it changed their life. Here now is Adriana's story. Watch this.
My name is Adriana, and this is my story. I was walking with God, serving God in Miami Vineyard and working with two wonderful children, so my life was amazing, and a grandson. I suffered from chronic pain in my back for many years, and the doctors diagnosed me with stenosis of the spine, so I had to have cervical surgery. Unfortunately, the surgery didn't go as well, and I was left paralyzed, and the doctors told me I would never walk again. And I became very upset at the beginning because I could not understand how I was going to be able to live my life depending on others to guide me, to feed me, to dress me, even to get out of the bed and go to the restroom. It was something that really upset me because I'm a very independent person. And 2020 seemed like I was on my way to recovery. But then all of a sudden, March 14th, I was told that I could not go back to work. I could not go back to church. And everything just shut down in the world, but also shut down in my life. And for me, it felt like the whole world had collapsed on me, and I closed my doors to everything. I closed my doors to God, mostly. I actually called the church and I told my leaders that I would not be serving any longer. I became devastated because as I was feeling that I was going back to a normal way of life, I was set back again to where I wasn't going to be able to do anything. And this time it was even worse because I could not even leave my house. And I could not even open the door to anyone, only that I have to think about COVID, but I also have to think about my parents' health. So that made me more depressive, knowing that I could not even see my own family. I could not see my brothers. I could not see my daughter. I was just in this one room where I just could not do anything but live this horrible situation we were all in. A few months after, like around June, I started feeling my legs again. I started feeling pain in my legs. I started feeling pain in my arms, which I did not before COVID. So at first, I didn't realize it until my mother reminded me, if you're feeling pain, it's because you're feeling again. And I called my doctors and they told me that it might be just muscle spasms that we had to wait and see. But as the weeks passed, I started feeling my legs. Little by little, I started leaving the cane and I started not having to depend on anything or anyone to be able to move forward. And I just felt God saying, this is what I'm doing for you. In the midst of this separation that you created for yourself and I, I'm bringing you back to me. I'm making sure that you see my faithfulness and my goodness in the midst of all this. Please know that at any time we can close our doors on God, but He's never shutting His on us.
That is such a powerful story. I know Adriana personally. God will never close a door on you. Some of you joining me right now, either in person or online, you have said something, you've done something, maybe a combination of things, and you just feel that God's somewhere, and you're here somewhere, and there's this big gulf between you and God. I'm telling you, God will never close a door to you. Never. He brought you here Easter weekend to tell you He will never close a door on you. Never. Never. You know, none of you are joining me today by accident. No. 1,000 years before you were ever born, God knew you'd be sitting in this room or you'd be joining us online right now on Easter. God knew this. So He could get you quiet long enough so you could hear these words. God says, you matter to me. You matter more than you will ever know. That I sent my son Jesus Christ for you, to die on a cross for you, to forgive us, to give you your sins and to raise again from the grave, to give us the power to live this life. You matter to me. And Jesus says, I want to be in relationship with you. Now look, I'm not talking about religion, okay? No, I don't care what religion you are. You might be Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or Buddhist or Baptist or all the above, none of the above. I'm not talking about religion. What I'm talking about is a relationship. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And all these things we're talking about, they are possible through that relationship with Jesus. So, what I want to do right now is I want to close this section of our service with a prayer. And I just want to invite you to just kind of maybe pray along with me, that whether you're in the room or online, first I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer along with me if you want to. If you want to say yes, if you want this relationship, if you want to say yes to this relationship. So can I ask you to do something? Can we just bow our heads together right now for just a moment? Online, if you're able to bow your head, I don't know where you may be watching from, but wherever it is, bow your head for just a moment. First, I want to say a prayer for you. God, I thank you for every person that's in the sound of my voice right now. Thank you, God. Because every person, God, you created, you made, you love. God, you designed them. You've created them to make a difference on this planet, that they're not here by accident. That they're here because you want to be here with plans and purposes for them. So, God, as I look out in these spaces today, people that you love, that you create, that you made, and Father, there are people joining us today who may have never begun a relationship with you. They know about you, but they just don't know you personally. I pray that you'd give them the courage to open their heart and their mind and their life to you right now. So what I'm going to do right now as we continue to pray, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if this is what you want, if you want to connect to Jesus today, then as I pray it out loud, I want you to pray it inside. So here we go. Dear God, thank you for loving me in spite of all my faults. I admit that I haven't fully realized how much you love me and how much you value me. But today, I want to connect with you. I need your power to overcome the past, to handle the pressures of today, and to face the future with confidence. God, I want to know the purpose that you made me for. Today, I open my life to you, Jesus. As best I know how, I want to get to know you. I want to learn to trust and to follow you. Amen. Now look up here for just a moment. Because if you prayed that prayer, whether in the room or online, and you meant it, I would love to have you do something for me. Do me a favor, then I'm going to do you a favor. Here's the favor I'm asking from you. If you will simply text the word commit to the number you see coming up on screen, if you let me know you prayed this prayer, here's a favor I'm going to do for you. I'm going to personally pray for you by name this next week. I don't care how many of you there are. I'm going to pray for you by name this next week. So if you let me know you made that decision today, just text the word commit to that number. Also, if you're kind of new in the room or kind of new online joining us, we would love to have you let us know. Just text the word new to the number you see coming up on screen, because we'd love to have you be more than just a face in the crowd or just a username online. We'd love to connect with you as part of this Vineyard family. You can text in the word new to that same number on screen. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to receive our Easter offering. This is that moment where we say, God, you've been so generous to us. We want to be generous back to you. So we're going to receive an Easter offering here. I'm going to tell you different ways you can give in just a moment. But before I tell you the ways that you can give, some of you already know how to do that, so you can go ahead and get started on that now. But look, this Easter, we're doing something really cool with a portion of our Easter offering. We are taking a portion of our Easter offering, and we are making a difference in some families, a huge difference in some families' lives here in South Florida. How are we doing that? Well, here's our very own Pastor Paul to tell you more about it.
Hey, V fam, we are over the top excited about our Easter offering because this year we are partnering with a national organization that's going to help us help our community eliminating as much medical debt as possible. Many of you know that medical debt is something that impacts nearly everyone in this community. If you've been following our personal story, my wife and I, our family's story, I was diagnosed with cancer this last July, and thank God I've got a clean bill of health just recently, and we're so excited about that. But do you know, we actually received our bill, our hospital bill, the last couple of weeks, and it was over $1 million. Now, thank God we have great insurance, but can you imagine if we had poor insurance or no insurance at all? That would have crushed our family for a season. Listen, we know that medical debt is not always a debt because of poor financial decisions. It's often a debt of necessity. Well, this year at the Vineyard, we want to do something about that in our community. We want to eliminate as much medical debt as possible. And because of this partnership with this organization, we are able to pay off pennies on the dollar. Here's an example of that. For every $100 that is given, we can actually pay off $10,000 of medical debt. $10,000 of medical debt. So we are excited that a portion of this offering this year is going to go towards eliminating medical debt in our community, forgiving it, wiping it completely out. Guys, I'm so excited to see how God's going to show up and show off. And I hope that you came prayerfully prepared to give to this offering. It's going to be amazing what we're going to be able to do in this community. So thank you in advance for your generosity. Can't wait to see God show up and show off.
So we are so excited. We're going to be able to pay off $1 million worth of medical debt just because of pennies on the dollar. You can pay off this debt working with this particular company. So there's going to be multiple families in the South Florida area on behalf of the Miami Vineyard Community Church. Their medical debt's going to be wiped clean. I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait for that to happen. So this is that moment where we say, God, we want to be generous back to you because you've been so generous to us. So there's multiple ways you can give. If you're joining us online, your online host can tell you to do that. If you're here in the room today, you can give through TextGiving. There's a number you see coming up on screen. You can give through TextGiving. You can go to our website. You can give online giving. But one of the easiest ways to give is right there on that app that you have open right now on your phone. There's a give button on the bottom. Just click that give button. It'll walk you right through it. But if you're in the room today, you can give through check and cash. We're not going to pass any buckets. But as you leave today, there's a box at the exits. And you can drop in checks or cash in that box as you leave today. Also, if you want to swipe a credit card, you can do that at a kiosk right outside these doors, and you can do that today as well. So I simply want to say to you, thank you for your faithful giving to God. For those of you who sacrificially give to this place and give to God through this place, thank you, because you are making a difference. Your giving is changing lives in this church, in this city, and around the world. So God bless you to give today. You can go and do that giving right now. This band's got a great song for us. And then right after this song, I'm going to be back up on stage and tell you about something really cool happening next weekend. And then we'll do one final prayer. So band, you got it. So good, so good, so good. Can we stand, please, together as we dismiss here today? And as you're standing, look, next weekend, we go back to our regular service times. Next weekend, we kick off a brand new series. I'll be up on stage kicking off the series called The Dot. Now, if you think I'm telling you what the dot is, you better think again. I'm not telling you what the dot is, but I will tell you this much. We all got one. But it's not your belly button. You've got to come next week and find out about The Dot. Brand new series kicking off next weekend. So can I ask you to do something with me, maybe for just a moment? I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Maybe you just want to put your hands in front of you like this because I'm going to give you a gift right now. I'm going to bless you right now. We're just receiving the gift. Thank you, God. For the resurrection power that's available to us in our lives. I thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives and doing in our hearts and doing in our minds. And so I bless you today on this resurrection day in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter, everybody.